Our second scripture reading this morning picks up where Emma left off in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14, which can be found on page 119 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. The others have just sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please join your hearts with mine in prayer. Spirit, come. Come and open your word to us on this day. Come and challenge us and come and comfort us, whatever it is we need in this moment, in this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be most acceptable and pleasing to you, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is what your eighth grade confirmation students have to proclaim about the Holy Spirit, taken directly from their faith statements. They're all right here. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of God and Jesus' Spirit, sharing the same beliefs and being as God and Jesus. The Spirit is there to help our friends and ourselves work hard in the church. The Spirit protects us, never leaves our side, and encourages us to do the right thing, the godly thing. The Spirit knows every single thing about our lives, and the Spirit pushes us out into the world, helping us work hard outside the church walls too. The Spirit shows the world its sin, but also helps the world remember the true Word of God. And here's what the Word of God proclaims about the Holy Spirit, taken from our Acts passage today. The Holy Spirit is the howling of a fierce wind surrounding you and filling you and all gathered there with you. The Holy Spirit sets a flame on and upon each of us. The Spirit empowers and enlivens us. The Holy Spirit stirs up chaos just enough to shake us into unity. The Holy Spirit takes control of our words and spouts them for God's purposes alone. When the Spirit speaks, all hear. They are encouraged, comforted, known fully by their own name and in their own native language. There they are, a bunch of backwood Galileans speaking foreign languages previously unknown to them. They attract attention among other Jews gathered in Jerusalem, residents, pilgrims, and immigrants alike, all celebrating the Jewish festival of Shavuot, also known as the Feast of Weeks, the Day of the First Fruits, or Pentecost. What we learn from Acts today is that when the Spirit acts, both onlookers and participants alike are left mystified, asking, what does this mean? What does it mean to believe in the God made known to us in Jesus and this most Holy Spirit? What does it mean to join the church? What does it mean to say yes to the God who said yes to me so many years ago? What does it mean to know the God in whom I am already fully known, in whom you, each of you, is already fully known? Peter's answer to our question, what does this mean, begins in Scripture. He turns to the prophet Joel. He adopts the old words for new purposes in this new time and place. The Spirit works through Joel's words now on Peter's tongue to interpret the time, to interpret the community, and to interpret the work ahead. Listen once more to the Word of God, this time from the Common English Bible translation. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions, your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In these days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Will, Maggie, Allie, CJ, Jessica, John, and Emma, they, along with their brothers and sisters, that's you, Matthew and Troy, Will, Maggie, Allie, CJ, John, Jessica, and Emma, they, along with their brothers and sisters, they will prophesy. They will tell the truth. They will name the places and ways where God steps in, where God calls forth for something better, and the names, the places where God steps back and says, it is good, so very good. And your young, your June and your Jenna, your Mitchell and your Charlie, your Megan and Kylie and Scott, the littlest among you who pick up worship bags, who listen from the nursery and the balcony, who come forward for the children's message and who stay shyly behind, the most vulnerable ones, they will see visions, visions of the world as it should be, visions of a world where love is perfected, where not one person or thing is trampled upon, no bug, bunny, daisy, or deadbeat is denied their beauty, their worth, their honor as God's beloved child. and your elders, your steadfast seniors. I will dare to name names. That's you, Judson, and Gretchen, and Dorothy, and Lil, and Walter, and Bea, and Earl, and every one of you who gather at the inn on the fourth Thursday of the month for senior breakfast. Those whose needs are too often overlooked, who can't hear or see or stand up quickly, those worshiping alongside us at Meadow Lakes, and those whose worship is now homebound. You will be our dreamer of dreams. Not dreaming about the good old days that once were, but dreaming instead of the good new days that you alone know and trust are being perfected in God's good timing. You will dream with untainted imaginations, throwing limitations to the side for the sake of God's whole creation, dreaming not in dull colors or large print, but dreaming in the kind of chaos that brings howling winds and tongues of fire atop every head as holy desire abounds. And my servants, says the Lord, men and women alike, on them I will pour my spirit. On the youth advisors, Blaze and Mark and Dawn and Cassandra, Vicky and Jody. On the committee members, Alan and George and John. On the choir members, on the lay readers, liturgists and ushers, on the deacons and the elders, on the visitors and the members, on the volunteers and the voluntolds, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord, and they will prophesy. And when the spirit is poured out, the whole world changes. Wonders shake us from our nothing surprises me attitudes. Heaven above and earth below throw off the status quo in favor for a new order, an order as unknown to us as a dark sun and a bloody moon. Everything transforms as God's good and loving purposes surround and subsume the whole world over. The chains of oppression break. Voices once silenced now cry out, and the splendor of the Lord is made known to all as God's salvation shines upon God's whole creation. That is the Pentecost story. The Spirit descends, and when it does, they will prophesy, they will vision, they will dream. By the power of the Spirit, they will find the promises and images of God's activity in the past and use it to point to God's activity in the present. As they faithfully live into the future, the day of the Lord where it is as on in heaven, so it is on earth. They will ultimately make meaning. By the power of God's Spirit poured out on us this very day, we will answer our own question, what does this mean? With the Spirit, we will know how present events connect to God and God's purposes, abundant love, and even radical justice. When this confirmation journey began a mere 2 months ago, one of you shared with me, I am scared that I will not understand it all. I will not be able to learn it all. I'm scared that I will get it wrong. You were, in essence, asking, what does this mean? And voicing a fear that you will never know the answer, To you and to your fellow confirmands and to the whole congregation, the Spirit speaks, fear not. For God's Spirit is with you. Like a howling wind, like a fire set deep down in your soul, like a peace that settles in the midst of the uncertainty, you are not alone. And by God's grace, in Jesus' example, and with the Spirit's relentless pursuit, you confirmands, you are the ones that prophesy. You interpret. You truth tell. You call meaning forth from the Scriptures. You participate in the unfolding of God's perfect realm. You keep the church authentic. And you take the gospel out into the world in real and radical ways. And if you don't believe me, then listen to your own Spirit-guided words taken again from your faith statements. God is working for us, yet sometimes, being foolish and arrogant humans, we do not return the favor. Even still, God sees the best in everyone. God sees that there is good in everybody, even when it isn't very obvious. God has a plan, so say their faith statements. Every major and minor event in our lives has meaning. Through good times and bad times, no matter what, God is always there. God's hand is always reached out for us to grab onto. God is a supernatural part of all of us. And Jesus is there to help with the smaller things, like getting in a fight with friends. Jesus is our example. Jesus ran the race perfectly. Jesus is our Savior, the Messiah. Jesus lived, died, and rose again. He has already been through the highs and the lows of our own lives. And the Spirit. She comes to us in the darkness and the light. The Spirit runs the race with us. The Spirit helps us to do the right thing. The Spirit guarantees us eternal life with God. You confirmands, you opened your Bibles and you found Scripture for your own lives. You use Scripture to make meaning of your lives, to interpret God's action in the world, and to ground you down with faith and hope. This is what you pulled from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." And to that you said, "I feel like it's my theme song." John 14:1, "Do not be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me," says Jesus. To which one of you said, "Every day I see this passage come to life inside my loving mother, my honored father, and my loving brother. God has given me a family to love and to trust." Psalm 23, one of you chose, because it means that the Lord provides everything for us, and the Lord guides us on the right path, and as long as the Lord is with us, we will be blessed. And 1 John 4:19, "We love because God first loved us," to which one of you rightfully proclaimed, "Without God, there would be no love in this world, and love, in my opinion, is the greatest factor, for with God there is less evil and more love." Today, on Pentecost Sunday, in just a few moments, you confirmands will have a chance to say yes. Yes to God, yes to faith, yes to the church, and yes to the call God has already placed on each and every one of your lives. You and your short lives have faced hardships. You have been told that you are not old enough, not smart enough, not skilled enough, not normal enough, and then not special enough. You have lost loved ones, and you have grieved the choices made by the adults who are trusted with the care of your lives. You have endured injury, ill will, and illness, and you have known what it is to love and to be loved. You know what it is to be embraced by God and held by a church family that loves you just as you are. You are free to be challenged in faith and free to challenge others into a deeper faith. And so this is the miracle of Pentecost. On that first Pentecost, all could hear and were heard, no matter their age, their ability, their gender, their knowledge, their belonging, all could hear and were heard. Your story on Pentecost is heard. Your sorrows and your celebrations, your nightmares and your wishes, your awesomeness, all of it is known, held, heard, and loved as the Spirit descends upon us and extends into every crevice of your life. And not only are you heard, but others hear you. That is, they hear you prophesying. They hear you interpreting, truth-telling, leading, and calling us to God's loving embrace. And that miracle, I hope you know, is not just for those being confirmed this Sunday, but for each and every one of us, the sons and daughters, the young and old, the men and women, each of you, to hear and to be heard, called by God to be loved and to love others. Come, Spirit, come. Amen.